You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Peter and chapter 1. Or chapter 2, better. 1 Peter and chapter 2. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you very much for your grace and kindness. So deal with us because we need it. Help us in every way. And our Father, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And we've been looking at David, and David is the example. As we shared this morning, God picks David on showing us how to walk. The Apostle Paul would be the next one in the New Testament. And David walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He did not fear the evil that was in front of him. Every day he would proceed and do what he had to do as he could do it. And the world around him was made up of humans like us, and it was the enemies were there, evil was there, the absence of God, the absence of good. People were doing what they did, the way they wanted it, how they wanted it. And that all existed. And David knew that. He lived through that, and the bumps and bruises. And God kept him, because his heart was for God, looking to God to work through that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, as he journeyed, and the evil was there, and God was with him. Now, all us humans were born on planet Earth, and we all have so many minutes and hours and years of existence, and we have it. And we all grow up and live in the world, depending on the culture, the country, and everything else. And we live in it, and we grow up and do and be and whatever we do and be and become, and we do it. And then we die. That's what we do. The world's full of all the people that died. Now, that's what they do. They live and they die. That's what people do. And in the process, God has a wonderful plan. Why would he let us be born? Because God has a wonderful plan for our life. He didn't want us to be able to live a bankrupt life. He didn't want us to live a life that was fruitless. He wanted us to be able to have a wonderful relationship to him, our Creator and Savior. And we were to have that relationship. Now that's the plan. Not too many avail themselves of it. Everyone is qualified, by that I mean Christ died for them, to participate, but they don't. And so David walked, and we shared together and all of those things without doing Psalm 37 and 23, and that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're established, fixed, firm, ordered by the Lord, and he delights in the way that we travel down the road. So that's what we're just trying to say. That's what God's plan is. To be able to have, God had a wonderful plan for our life. Sin loused it up, and most of the humans don't do it. Like in the days of Noah, you only have Noah and his three sons, wives maybe, in the process. And that's what they did. They walked with God, but they don't say that. Just Noah walked with God. They were all blessed because Noah walked with God. The rest of the people, all of them, lots and lots and lots and lots of people, were doing what they did, and they did evil continually and increased in it. So for 120 years, Noah lived through that. That's what he did. Every day he got up and did what he had to do in building the ark, etc. That's what he lived with. He walked with God. David walked with God. And we're supposed to walk with God. That's what God meant people to do. So now, having said that and keeping that little bit in front of us, here's 1 Peter chapter 2. And we reminded ourselves that David is the God's chosen one to follow his steps, to have a heart for God and walk with God. And therefore, we share together that the Son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the line of David, comes along and he says the same thing. His example, our Lord's example, chapter 2 and verse 23. Oh, well, let me go back. I'll go back up higher. Verse 21, if I can. For even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, a pattern to follow, that we should what? We should follow his steps. Now, the pattern. God gives a pattern. The Lord Jesus Christ is the pattern. Who are we following? We're following the Lord Jesus Christ, his example, his pattern. Not only are we doing that, we represent the Lord. How can we represent the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't follow in his steps? He's seated at the right hand of God, and we're still here, as it were, on planet Earth. How are we going to represent him? By following in his steps. By following. And God, as we shared this morning, the steps of a good man, they're God's steps, going down the corridor of time. It's God's way to go in God's steps for the benefits. There's another way we share together with Israel, remember? Israel, Egypt, no more. The wilderness, no more steps. They knew all of those. They were going to cross the Jordan, and it was a whole new walk, a whole new way, a whole new movement. When you get saved, God does a wonderful thing to make that possible that we don't have, to make the impossible possible for us to go down and go to bed and get out of bed and go to work and go to school and do each thing and do it down the corridor of time in a whole different way, a whole nother way. We're walking like Noah. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. The believers have walked with Christ, God, in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would please, in walking, we share together that God, as we're going, we share that in glory and change this morning, and we're supposed to be changed. We're going, and as we go, everything is a step-by-step we shared. That's how. That's how you got old. You go, you don't just have a birthday. You have a birthday because all these days went by, day one, day two, day three. All these days go by. And finally, you hit the day to mark your next birthday. You did not get that birthday just like that. You had to go through all those days to get there. That's how you get there. That's how a tree grows, a little tree, acorn tree, a big tree. How did it ever get to be a big tree? A little, one little growth at a time, one little bit at a time. That's how your plants grow. That's how everything is, one little bit at a time. The only exception is God. And when God does what he does, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and it was. All at once. No time, no steps, just there. God's wonderful, wonderful work. God does that. But for us, for everything else, it's a step that we share. Michelangelo, just to put you, the chips, that big piece of marble, you have to go and you take chip after chip out of that marble, and then when it gets real special face and everything, then you take little chips. And we have that. That's how we grow. God, what have you got? I got a plan for your life. I have a wonderful plan. I have to outwork it. It was the plan I had before you were ever created. It's already in print. It's already there. Already in front of me, said God. Now all you need to do is be here and trust me, and it'll work. That's the plan. What are you working with, God? The steps, I have a plan, step by step. I have a way. Everyone's in whatever, but you have a way for each one. Isaiah 43. And in Isaiah chapter 43, just reminding you, so it gets rather simple then. What are we supposed to be doing? We go to work, we go to school, we eat, we do everything, we do it depending what it is we have to do and where we are, etc., and we do it. Now, God, what is the whole purpose of us continuing on planet Earth? It isn't to be like the days of Noah, everyone doing what is right in their own eyes, etc. It isn't like that. No, God said, I have a wonderful plan for your life, and I want to be able to demonstrate that plan, way, steps. I want to demonstrate it. I want you to enjoy and I have pleasure in doing it, said God. I delight to do it. I want you to go down the corridor of time, and I want to exercise the plan that I have for you. I'm going to exercise that plan that I have for you before the world, in the valley of darkness and evil and death, with no life, no light, no looking to God. I want you to go down the corridor. I want to demonstrate. I have a plan. You are an example, and you are to demonstrate my plan for your life amidst and in the valley of darkness, in your journey through time. And therefore, Isaiah 43, using Israel in this case, verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Israel is clued in all the time. They aren't. In the days of Isaiah, the 10 tribes are going into the Assyrian captivity, and Isaiah is going to be pointing past them to Babylon coming up in the future. Verse 7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Remember we shared this morning, glory. God is waiting to show you his glory that he put in your heart when you got saved. And we aren't awake to it. We aren't awake to what on earth did you give me? You gave me your glory. I can't wait to get you there to see the glory that I gave you in my Father's house of many mansions. I want you there. You don't realize what I did for you. You don't realize what I made possible for you. I'm going to have to get you there to see it. Hang on. Now, therefore, verse 10. Now, you want to know what the purpose of Israel and your purpose and mine? You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. What on earth, God, what is the plan about? About work, home, inventing something, winning a Nobel Prize, what is it? Verse 10, that you may know purpose, you may know and believe me. I want you to know me and believe me. So what am I going to do tonight? Know and believe him. What are you going to do in the morning? Know and believe him. That's what you're doing. You're going to do everything you have to do, but in the process, the one thing, you want to know what God's will is? To know and believe him. Hang on. Verse 10. You may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only God and only Savior. Now, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to know me. I want you to, and we keep saying that, we are in the presence of God. I want you to awaken to the fact that I am the invisible, infinite, unmeasurable God. God, you are something else, absolutely. What do you want? You created us to what? To know you. So in the thick and thin of it, growing up, and we have to grow up inch by inch, little babies grow up and we share together, the person inside has to live with this body, and they have to grow up. They aren't going to get bigger like we shared this morning. The soul is this big. It stays this big. Doesn't get bigger. It just exercises the body that it's in and learns to adapt and understand the world in which it is born into earth. But when you get saved, God makes this person in here to know him. And this person in here, God, what's this about? As we go through the work, home, eating, drinking, and doing everything we have to do, with God, it's knowing you. That's right. And that, we now grow and change. We are changed. God does a wonderful thing. He's changing us, helping us understand. So that each day, like growing up, you have a greater appreciation of mathematics and food and everything. And when you get saved, you go through what? A development, a growing of what? To learn about God, to understand God's presence. How do I understand? I read God's word. God's word is written, like we shared on Wednesday. You want to have being quietness. God speaks to you as you read his word in quietness. Not jumping all over, not running all around. No. You just let God speak to your heart quietly. And you read, and you read, and you read. Over, if you would, Isaiah 55. I'm going to read. 55, God help us. Because what are we doing? We're growing up and learning about God. The trees, the bugs, the birds, the bees, everything grows inch by inch, step by step. That's how it nothing happens quick. It's always a progress, a step by step, hour by hour, day by day. That's how we get a year. That's how you go through a day. You can't have the end of the day without going through each of the 60 minutes in each hour of the day. That's the only way you get to finish work, finish home, go to bed. You have to finish the cycle. You have to finish it. You can't just get up and go to bed, and think all 12 hours happened. No, you go through it. That's how you do it. That has to be. And there is no other way. We just lose it. We lose it. What? We're trying to get somewhere, have something. Understandably, there's nothing wrong with that within reason. But the point is, how do we get there? Step by step. How are we supposed to get there? In God's presence. Think of the storm we did, the tornado and all of that on Wednesday and that. And going through the corridor of time, here we are. And we're going with God, his steps, his way, his purpose, his plan. And here we are on earth. in the valley, evil, darkness, and death everywhere, and they don't care. But that we, God has made us what? New creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. And without turning there in Galatians 3 in that. And we're going to, Galatians 4. What are you going to say, Paul? And by the way, the only way, the thing that counts, it isn't whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. It doesn't matter what you do or what you say or whatever. When you're all done, with every kind of rationale you try to use to justify whatever we're doing or not doing, then what do you say? The only thing that counts is you become a new creature. If you don't become a new creation, you've got nothing. You've got nothing at all. You've got to become a new creature. Not go to church and not have all... No, you've got to become a new creature. That's what you've got to become. Who does that? God. What is it? A new relationship to God that we outwork in a wonderful way. Isaiah 55. If I can, going... let me pick it up in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. There's your little word. My ways, saith the Lord. I got a whole new way. You go your way, but I got a whole new way. And that's the way you're supposed to go. My way. I got a big plan for your life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I've got it all set. You do it one step at a time. Therefore, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. In other words, the weather is required. The rain, the snow, and everything happens, the storms, clouds, and drop all the water in the ocean and stuff, and the heat takes it all back up in the air and spins it all around, waters everything. God, you do that. That's right. That's right. I didn't intend to, when I have the snowflakes, I don't have them all come halfway down, and then they all go, zoop, back up in the air. No, I want the snowflakes to hit the ground. I want the water to hit the ground. I want my word to hit the ground. I want my word to hit the heart, just like the snow and the rain. And as we're going down, my ways are not your ways, he said. Therefore, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God, are you going to... The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he directs and establishes the steps and the way. God delights. The believer delights. Going down the corridor of time. Aha. Uh-huh. And it isn't anything special. It's just the fact that we stumble through and go through all the different things. Good and bad and easy and hard, and sometimes we don't do too good. But in the process, we go down the corridor. And in the corridor, what? We're looking to God. That's what we're doing. We aren't going alone. I'm with you always. That's what it's about. For what? To know him. And look at the word sliding down. The word goes forth, and in the millennium in particular, God's going to go, and verse 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you, singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Mm-hmm. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name. God, what are you doing? I'm honoring myself. God said, I have a plan for your life. I created you. I have a wonderful plan. So you're going down the corridor of time. That's what you're going to do. And as you go down the corridor of time, you're going to find, I have a plan. So God, who created? Who got this? Who made this? God said, I did. So as I'm going down, it's for your name. That's right. So as we're going, what's the reason? We go one step at a time. Why are you telling us? So that you understand the steps. I'm going to fix your life, change your life, mold your life. I'm going to do all of that. But you have to go one step at a time. You just can't go fast. Fix it, make it happen. No, it doesn't happen that way. Oh, God, if you just do some big thing and make my life valuable in some way. No, it doesn't work that way. And you have to learn that. And we'll pick it up here in a sec if I can get there. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God takes us one step at a time down as we go down the corridor of time. And keep in mind the details of how it all goes and how it works out. A God, there's nothing dull, nothing boring. No, things are different. And they may be the same old food, the same old refrigerator, the same old couch, the same old car, the same old shirt, same old, but you're changing. You're learning to trust God. And not the outside here, the inside. You're learning to trust God, his person. And you enjoy his person. If I were to go back into Proverbs chapter 1, and God, what did you tell us in Proverbs chapter 1? I said in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified. Who is wisdom? God is. God is wisdom. So when I go back to chapter 1 now, wisdom, what are you crying out in the street to the people that are going, coming, and going? What is wisdom saying? I wish you would link up with me. I would like to travel, take you down the corridor of time. I would like to go with you. Now, if you had, let's see what we could do to make it easy. Okay, if you had some, and there's lots of people like that, with billions. We don't hear millionaires, we hear billionaires. Billion, electronic world and all that. So, we're going to go, and we'll go with, I don't know, Mr. Gates, and et cetera, but I'll use him because I can think of his name. And I don't want to use that other guy that is the bad guy, the rich guy. I don't want to use his name. I don't want anything from him. No, sir, he's... Anyway. Now, so here's Bill Gates, and we're going to go. And we're going to go on a little trip, whatever, and the expenses are there, everything's there. Now, and Bill Gates is taking you down there. And as you go down there, are you worried about paying the lunch bill? Are you worried about anything? Because he has a big sack with $5 zillion in it just in case we need it for lunch. Do you understand? He's with you. If you were in a physical problem, and the doctor was with you, does it make a difference when the doctor's with you? When the Bill Gates is with you, you're going to cover everything. You have no need. No need. You can jump in a big plane, even rent the whole plane. Then you don't have to worry about seating or mask. Just get the whole plane. You're all set. Wow. God is with you. That's what he's trying to tell you. God said, I'm with you. So whatever you're going to face, hear, see, feel, experience, fall down. Think of Psalm 37, the next verse, verse 24. Though he utterly fall down and hit his head, God said, I'll pick him up with my right hand, and we're going to keep going. Though he falls 7 times, I will pick him up every time. Now, that's how we get there. How? Because God's with us. That's what it's about, one step at a time. That's why the steps aren't so boring and aren't so disconnected. Because we're going down and seemingly maybe going nowhere, seemingly, but actually that's not true. In each of the steps, God has his way. What is his way? To know him, to understand him. He's God and your Savior, and you're in a world of darkness and everything, and you're going to go down the corridor in a most awesome and wonderful way. So as you go down the corridor, looking to God and trusting God, and therefore dull and dull things and exciting things, dull, trivia, all of those different things, boring. We go through all those, you know. I wish I had something interesting. But God, I'm trusting you. God's out working. And we say, thank you. That's pretty positive. Thank you. And we go one step at a time down the corridor, and God takes us down. That's what he does. And your companion is there. You aren't lonely. I'm lonely. I'm insecure. How can you be insecure if he's there? I'm safe. I need to be safe. How can you be safer? How can you be sure you're going to get to where you're going? The tornado again. Nothing's going to get in. Nothing stops the tornado. It does what it does. Buildings and that. Wow. I remember years ago when I had to go to McDonnell Aircraft when I was in engineering and that type of stuff. And I think I told you this 100 years ago. When we stayed in Kansas City, and we were in a group of us had to go checking on the airplanes and stuff. And in the process where we stayed in the hotel, we looked out the window. It's a street, city street, so the closed buildings aren't distant. And we looked out the window in our room, and here's this big building, the same height, I don't know how many stories it was, up in the air. And the tornado had gone through before and literally shaved the building. So you could see in each room as if they cut it in half, and you could look in and see all the rooms and all the furniture sitting there. The tornado just shaved it right in half. Wow. Power. Wow. Yeah. Now, so God, here we are looking, and God, as we go down the corridor of time, and you're going to go, and if you say, well, I don't like that, you know, if you were a diamond person, and in order to enjoy the diamonds, you have to go and dig. No, dig for diamonds. If you don't go through the drudgery, and the labor of digging, the boredom, dig and shovel, dig and sift, dig and dig, you'll never find the diamonds. You only have the diamonds because you went through the drudgery of digging. You can't have the benefits without going through one day at a time with all the everything that you have to live with. And that's how we're going to go. And so, God, you're going to go, and the ordinary is going to find the extraordinary. And God is going to prepare us by these steps we take. And you couldn't get to where you're going without taking steps. And you go through the whatever this thing is in a day or a week or whatever, and you go through the steps. And that's how you get there. How you get there? Well, how'd you get there? By the steps. How did you get there? By God prepares you with the steps that you take. When you get up in the morning or night or whatever, you have to go to work, a school, whatever you do, don't you go and get up and have a little process? Don't you put clothes on or something? Don't you have a process? Sometime you may like breakfast. I don't know. You just don't go out of the bed like a rocket, up, boom, out the window, into the car. You don't do that. You have a routine, and you do it. That's how you get there, isn't it? That's how you got to school or work or whatever you did. You did the system. They say it's boring. No, it isn't boring. It's necessary. You can't go out in your pajamas, you know. Well, some probably do. You don't want to go in your pajamas. Well, that's what you do. That's how you get there. Well, so God, here we are looking. And here God goes, and the discipline that God puts us through he's delighted to do it. He's delighted to do it, and we become delighted, like in Hebrews 12. It becomes very profitable for us, and we are very good. I didn't learn until I got disciplined in it, until I get spanked. And that's how I learn. That's how I get there, one little thing at a time. And abiding, what's abiding? A plant just abides in the ground, and the plant grows inch by inch, day by day. It just grows. Trees, fruit, everything. Animals, the babies, they all grow inch by inch. That's what they do. Wow. And we abide. We're to abide in the vine. Christ is the vine. We're the branch. And we abide. And it produces fruit. But say, where's the fruit? No, 1 hour, one day, 1 hour at a time. And it produces. It changes us. You can't have it like that. You have to go through and fumble through and fall down and get a bloody nose and whatever. And you just keep going, and it comes. That's how you get there, one step at a time. And if you say, well, I don't want to do that, then you never will know. You'll never know God. You'll never enjoy His presence. He's your Savior and your Creator. And He has an awesome plan. It's glorious. It isn't like, so we aren't like the world anymore. We're saved out of the world. We're saved into Christ. And Christ, as He walked for 33 years publicly in Palestine, Jerusalem, etc., now He walks in you. And you take God to work, you take God to school, you take God to the kitchen. That's what you do. And you're doing that. And it's an awesome thing. But you ought to understand that. So life isn't quite so. And it's very hard, I think. I think that the times in which we're living in now, it's very stressful. I think so. I think it's very hard, even if you see the news, and most of the news is so wrong, that's the trouble. You hear the wrong news. They tell you the wrong stuff. They lie to you. That's simply said, and that's proven, so there's no question. You know all that. They aren't going to tell you the truth. They can't afford to. They can't afford to tell you the truth. Because their system wouldn't make it, what they're after, communism and all that stuff. Now, so God, here we are looking, and God, we're going down, and we do. And You have to help us as we go, and there's nothing small, nothing too small at all. No, nothing's too small. Nope. Over a few places, we just sort of have to skip a few things. Over to did you get that one? Zechariah. And in Zechariah, you know, if I can. Now remember, Zechariah is in the days they have built the temple, redid it, and not Solomon's temple. This is after, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, in that period of time. Here's Zechariah before them, and here he is, Haggai, Zechariah, and they went and built the temple. The temple's nothing compared to what it was, but it was a temple, and in the process, it didn't look like anything like it used to be. Our world isn't anything like it used to be. It just isn't. And the likelihood of going back to it is getting pretty, pretty distant to go back to it. That's going to mean a whole lot of things. And it's all going to happen because the people that it wanted, you know, all these things in the news and that, if you listen to good news, and they've said, these people that are there, that they intend, I will even name two very prominent, way up in the top, people. But what? We must continue the violence and what's going on no matter who wins. It must continue. It must continue. Remember hearing it? I can't even tell you who it is. You already know. Up there. Oh, boy. That's what they're going to do. They want to get in to keep it going. And if they don't get in, they're going to keep it going anyway. Do you understand that? It's not going to go away. So therefore, it isn't going to disappear. So what we're facing is going to get even more active, either being accepted and we get swallowed up in it, or we try to hold the line and get overwhelmed with everything that is opposing, trying to hold the line. So now, here's the temple. And the temple is there. It isn't anything. And they're going to go. And Zechariah, and you look and say, well, boy, life isn't like it used to be. No, it isn't. And but it wasn't about. It wasn't about your job. It isn't about your family or your relatives. It's about God. And when it's all done, it's gone. When you're all done, all right? You say, I did all this and did that. All right, we come to the end, but we just did it, a funeral and that. Now what happened? You got reward, you had a great job, you did all this. And now it's all gone. You become unable, old, retire. That's what retirement's for, to discover what you should have learned when you were working. So here we go, retire, and we get that. What are we going to do? Well, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do? So you got 10 trophies. So what? Now what? Now what are you going to do? Well, I had all this, but I used to be able to do this and that. Now what are you going to do? You can't do. It's no more. So you better have something in mind that you can. And that's why we walk one step at a time in order to get old. So when we get old, we're like David. Psalm 37. David was old. David said, listen, God is waiting. And I'm going to keep going. And David will say, I can't. It's a small thing, God, that you have such an awesome millennium. And I'm going to be part of that in a very prominent way in the millennium. David is prince with Israel. Mm-hmm. What about us? Here's Zechariah. And Zechariah is encouraging the remnant, the people. And you'll remember it, if I can, in verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And what's the whole thing about? Can't even do it now. We did it once. We can't even do it. What's it about? God said, listen, you may not have everything. You don't have anything. But you still have God. When everything else disappears, you still have God. When you lay there totally nothing, God is there. God is there. The plan of God is there. The will of God is there. The outworking of God. God is not hindered at all in what he wants to do, like the tornado. It just does what he has to do. And as we seek to walk with him, that's what you're going to do. And we aren't part of the system anymore. We're out of the system. So the system doesn't dictate to us. We walk before God and try to show his wonderful grace and mercy that he would do to anybody that would believe. Now, so here we are looking not by might, not by military, big armies, and not by power, human strength, human anything. So you can't do it with a big group, and you can't do it with a little group. you're going to be able to do it, and the internal and external, any human, anything, is of no avail. It isn't going to work. God has to do it. And that's what it's about. Now, I got to quickly to pick up if I can. Sliding over if I can. Picking up, please. Remember now, here's the temple. They're looking to build the temple, finish the temple that's never going to be like Solomon's. Just an ordinary little building, comparatively. And missing the contents. The contents are all gone. The table of showbread and all gone. Wow. Here we are. So now, God, what are you going to do? Well, God's there. And God said, listen, you guys are all feeling sad because things aren't like they used to be. Things like they could be better when this was this and this was that and things, and we try to do that. We do. But it isn't. No. So God, how do you help them? You say it. You know it. Verse 10. For who hath despised? Who hath despised the day of small things? To see it as insignificant, little, of no meaning, no value. It's too little. What I just did, I didn't even pay attention. I was looking for thinking of something else. Step by step by step, chip by chip on the marble. Wow. Now God said, don't despise. Don't think it's insignificant. It isn't insignificant. If God's in it, nothing's insignificant, is it? If God's in it, what is insignificant? Remember the little bug we had, the microbe going down 338 miles down into the earth that they found? Well, I mentioned this morning. That little microbe down there, live animal down there. Wow. A little thing less than small. Now, God, why would you put such a small thing down there? Well, God has his reasons, and we don't even know because it's out of our reach. All we can do is discover things and say, wow. Now, God, here we are. And God, you know how small that was? Wow. Yeah. Now, God, and the hairs of our head and all of those things. Now, God, you have a plan. I do. If it's my plan, you bet it's good. Even if it looks like nothing, even if it seems a big blank zero. I remember I brought it back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. That. Back then, what did you do in there? I'm going to help you go and take the rubbish that Nebuchadnezzar knocked down and burned down the city and the temple. And I'm going to have you take the rubbish. That's what you got. You make the rubbish work and build the wall. And that's what they did. It's only rubbish. God said, use it. It isn't great big blocks from Lebanon or trees or something. No, it isn't. It's just rubbish. Take what you can and build the wall. The wall isn't going to count. But you do it. I'll take care of the weakness of the wall. The wall isn't what it used to be. But God said, I am the same. I want you to know me and understand and believe me. I want you to appreciate and look to me as your God and Savior as you go down the corridor of time. That's what I want. Don't despise the day of nothings, because there are no such things as nothing. That's how it all happens. That's how the tribulation's coming, isn't it? All the little things happening. You say, what, they're in, we don't even see them. We don't even pay attention to them. And each one's leading to the next thing. Right now, in our global system, we mentioned it this morning. All, but it's insignificant. No, it isn't insignificant. It's making the next thing happen. One step at a time. I hope you got a little bit. I don't want to rob you of your treat. I hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, we didn't get very far. But God, it isn't so hard. Nope. One step at a time. And for the dear people that can't get out and stuck and different kinds of problems and physical needs and problems, God help them. And but we're trying to hold the fort, God. We're able to be here, able to stay in your presence and exercise a testimony to your living and wonderful person. God, you're our Savior. You're our Creator. You're our Father. And God, the wonder of that, the comfort of that, escapes us. So you're going to help us. Thank you for it all. In Christ's name, amen.